You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line, 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
Welcome to People Helping People on Daisy 1170 AM radio. That listens to you. My name is Greg with my co-host Larry.
Yeah, the guy is laughing right now.
Producer Franco.
On the verge of sneezing right now.
Sorry, Frank. I'm sorry for this, Franco. How are you today?
It's okay. Good afternoon, Greg and Larry. Hey, how was your Labor Day weekend?
It was Labor Day. I worked.
Yeah. It's odd because you make it seem so matter of fact. Well, guess what? I work. But
I did.
If most people do get the day, you just choose to work.
You
choose.
In a way.
You choose.
I didn't really have a lot of options.
Okay. But needless to say, it was a wonderful long weekend. I think 3-day weekends are the best. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Vacations, right? When you take a vacation, which we all need. You tend to, the first few days of vacation, you feel guilty, right? You're always like, oh my God, I hope I did everything I had to do so I'm not coming back and being swarmed when I get back.
I never have that problem.
First few days are tough to unwind, and then you finally start to unwind about halfway into your vacation, and then it's already almost over, and you start thinking about how it's time to get back to work.
Yeah.
3-day weekend, you kind of know, all right, I have 3 days. The world is pretty much shutting down, or at least the country's shutting down. And you feel better about a 3-day weekend. And then Friday becomes like a long, like a 4-day weekend because everybody's so happy. And, you know, we had our little barbecue on Friday.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the spirit of
Where was that?
It was here. We invited you. You decided not to come Friday. This past Friday.
I didn't see the invitation.
I told you when you were here and I asked you if you'd like
to
come and join us.
No wonder
I
did not see it.
So I Febrezed the studio before we started the show just for germs and making sure that the air was clear. And Larry's having a hard time with it in case you're wondering.
That stuff is bad. Use bleach.
I don't understand how bleach would be any better if we bleached
the studio. It doesn't
smell
like that stuff.
We can't just bleach the studio. It takes,
Lysol,
we have to air
maybe.
It out for days.
Maybe.
So that's why Larry's
complaining. If I start to sneeze or cough, you'll know why.
It's good to be here with everybody, even you, Larry. Even with all this complaining, it's nice to see you.
You're privileged.
If this show is new to you and you're listening to it, what we do every week is for an hour from noon to one, we will usually talk about things that are happening within the community, how people are helping one another and extending the platform of our radio station to allow people to talk about issues within the community, amongst their peers, children, so on and so forth, have guests on that might bring some information to light that maybe we all are under-educated about, whether it be illness, whether it be local organizations helping the needy and the homeless and so on and so forth. So that's what this show is. It's
current
sort of
events.
An extension of the community.
Yeah, it is exactly what it is.
And one of the things that we're all sort of facing right now is a new president. We're going to have a new president. Mm-hmm. One thing we know, whether you like the incumbent or whether you like the two options on the table right now or not, there will be a new president. And this, you're struggling with the Febreze too, aren't you?
Nah.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, it is. Is it one of those the automatic release ones you plug
in? No,
into the
no, it isn't. It's just a spray. And it wasn't even a lot.
Man, he must have really just
it
let
was just
go
a
with
little
that.
Bit, but it's on this, and that's probably why.
Whoa.
So,
you want my mic? I'll trade.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
The new president that we're going to have in this country in a couple of months, whether it's one or the other, is either way is probably the most polarizing election we've ever had.
One of them, yeah.
I mean, it seems the majority of people are not happy with their options. I certainly am not happy with my options. I feel like we could have done better.
Who are you going to vote for?
I'm not saying that because I don't even know. I'm waiting till the debates happen.
Now I already know who you're going to vote for.
I need to see the debates because I don't like either of them. And I tend to lean more conservative in my beliefs when it comes to political things. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say I'm liberal on social topics, because I'm definitely, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm conservative. I'm a little more liberal with social topics, like, you know, when it's your own right. When it comes to money and such, I'm a little more conservative in my beliefs. But regardless, neither of these candidates make me feel good. I feel worried about whoever it's going to be.
I totally agree with
you. It's the lesser of two evils, right? It's like somebody said, it was rather, it's like you get to choose the type of shoes that are going to kick you in your butt. That's really what's going
to
happen.
That's a good way to put it.
It's like which wears shoes that will hurt the least.
Yeah, that's a good way. Ha, did you hear what happened to Obama in China?
I did, but I don't know. Explain. I heard something about this.
Well, apparently he's the first, and I saw this on Facebook, people, so it's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't believe it, in other words.
Well, check it out. So apparently he's the first president that didn't have the red carpet rolled out for him.
No kidding. They don't like him.
And no, not at all. And then I heard another story that they actually rolled out the red carpet, but they didn't have a ramp to let him off the plane, so he had to come out, I think, through the cargo hatch.
Get out of here.
Or the lower deck, you know, the lower door closest to the ground.
You're kidding me.
Because they didn't have, no, seriously. And then, of course, the Filipino president, you know, had a few choice comments for him.
I'm sure.
So, I don't think it's a lot of people's imagination about how he's affected certain people around the world.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all were hopeful.
Absolutely.
I really was. I thought there would be a lot more change. Again, I don't want to get into politics here, because this is the last. I am not a political person at all.
I
pay very close attention because it's definitely going to affect me. But I don't consider myself a political person, because I think it's all kind of out of whack, the whole system.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Locally, we do have options. And we start thinking of local government and how all of the presidential election is going to affect us locally. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean organizations like Real Options, whom we've had on this show a few times. Mm-hmm. There are new laws that will take effect when a new president comes in, because they have their beliefs and they will...
Yeah.
And you think of like Planned Parenthood. They've been under a barrage of attacks from the government for years. Whether you agree or disagree, it's still something that is part of the community that is helping women, especially young women, in difficult, very difficult times and making very difficult decisions. So a lot of these nonprofits are affected by who's in office,
believe it
or not, especially locally. Not so much presidents as much as who's the mayor, who's local government, who in Santa Clara County is going to be a person of influence. So these are things that we want to start opening the conversation to. And if you have information or wisdom in specific area, whether it be your, you know, basic human rights, whether it be medical benefits or health benefits, because that affected a lot of us with Obamacare, big time.
It did.
It hurt a lot of people, more so than helped a lot of people.
Oh, and you still can't figure it out.
I'm so lost. I paid a penalty last year because I made a mistake in my taxes.
Yeah, I did too.
And I'm paying this penalty because of something that seems like a ridiculous system.
Yep.
But anyway, we want to talk about these things. So if you want to call us and talk about something specific to the election or to the local community and how the election is going to affect this and our lives, we open the platform to you to talk and let us know what that is. Let's start the conversation. That's what we're here for.
I mean, it's all about people helping people, and God only knows we're going to need help.
What do we have, 2 months until the election, basically?
Yes,
November the 7th.
6th or 7th, right.
So
2 months from today, essentially, we're going to be choosing a new president. So we want to start the conversation here, especially in the Desi community. We want to know what are the hot topics right now? Who are the hot buttons for us? 408-912-5565 is the number. 408-912-5565. You could be anonymous. You don't have to say your name. You could just simply tell us what you want to talk about. We do want to start that conversation.
Yep.
I think we discussed off air. Larry and I were talking about the upcoming months. We have some big events happening. A lot of Dandi is happening in October, and pretty much every weekend. Then we have the Sankara Eye Foundation's annual banquet. So next week, Marley is going to come on the air with us.
Yeah.
Murley's a longtime friend of the show and the station, yeah. And he is the man behind Sankara Eye Foundation. Yeah. Just a great gentleman, a great man. And he will join us next week. We'll talk about the, I think they have five Dandiyas, Sankara Eye Foundation, five Dandiyas. The 2nd of October, the 8th of October, the 15th, and the 22nd. And then their annual banquet is November 17th. So Murley will come in. We'll go through all of those, talk about how the community can help. He's very poetic in how he talks about this.
And he'll probably sing again for us.
He most definitely will sing as long as we open.
I hope so.
Give him the opportunity to sing.
Well, always.
Because he's such a good man, such a great singer.
Yeah.
We do have somebody who wants to jump on the phone.
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. Let's jump on. AJ, you're on People Helping People. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Good, good.
You guys are talking about some politics. I just wanted to shoot in that there is a third option for president.
Talk.
I know Gary Johnson is running.
Yes, Gary Johnson.
Wanted some of the listeners to know about him a little bit.
Let's talk. It's a good thing you bring that up because I paid very close attention to the interview that Anderson Cooper did with Gary a couple weeks back because I really wanted to see if this guy was a viable option. Do you want to talk a little bit about what do you feel about the third party option?
Well, I think most Americans are fiscally conservative and socially tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gary really, shows that out to the electorate out there. I've been following him for the last, I'd say since 08 when he ran.
Oh, okay.
Two-term governor of New Mexico. He's running with a solid Bill Weld from Massachusetts. Both people have 16 years combined governor experience. And I think, they want some simple things. They want government out of your pocketbook. And they want government out of your bedroom. Mm-hmm. You are an independent person who can make decisions. And as long as those decisions don't harm other people, they're all for it.
Now, Gary Johnson is a libertarian. And a lot of people don't understand that he actually he was a Republican, registered Republican years ago, correct?
Correct. Both Bill Weld and Gary Johnson were Republican governors.
Do you feel confident? I'm assuming, AJ, you've spent some time listening to all three of the candidates. Do you feel that Gary Johnson has an outside shot, even though it's a two-party system that seems to work here in this country?
Yes, and I'll tell you exactly why. If you look at Donald Trump, when he first announced he was running, people thought it was a joke. He was less than like 3%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Bernie Sanders. When he announced, he was below 4%. What got them the attention that they have today is they were allowed in a national debate. Gary Johnson is less than 3% from getting to that 15% threshold.
Right.
And if he can get in, it can really change the outcome of this election.
Well, what'll have to happen in order for this, and in my opinion, to even be a reality, is that the media can't blackball him or completely ignore him. And that seems to be what happens. Mm-hmm. As the media gets behind who they really, really like. And it's a liberal media, let's face it. That's the way this country's been for years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be those that are going to support the Republican Party, and there's always going to be those that support the liberal. No matter who it is in office, they're going to support. There are enough people, though, I feel, that are aggravated with the system that this could be the election where the third party makes a difference. I'm just not sure he's getting enough attention right now.
I don't think he is, because I don't see much about him.
Right.
Anywhere.
I'm glad you brought it up, AJ. Frankly, would you say you're an avid supporter of Gary Johnson?
Absolutely.
Is it because he's the best option, or is it because you really do believe Gary Johnson is a great candidate?
I'd say both. Starting with the latter, I mean, I really, really think he's a great candidate. I've followed what he's done. He's the only one who's running who has the executive office experience. Hillary Clinton doesn't have that. Donald Trump has zero political experience.
Right.
And, Gary Johnson has put his money where his mouth is. He got elected and right now, just like you said earlier, this election is going to polarize the country. Whoever wins, people are going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And Gary Johnson won in a state that was 2-1 Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not bipartisan, then tell me what is.
Well, let me ask you this question. Did I cut you off, Larry?
No, not at all.
This is one of those sort of, I guess you don't have to answer this question, but do you think that because of the fact that we have such extreme indifference towards the Trump and Clinton at this point, do you think that the young voters that were absolutely 100% behind Bernie Sanders, do you think that that vote is automatically going to shift to the Libertarian Party? Do you think that the majority of those young voters are now going to place their stock in a relatively unknown candidate?
I would say it's half-half. I've had these discussions with some of my friends, family members. You know, there are some Democratic loyal voters. They're only going to stick to the party. But you have the people who are tired of the drug war. They're tired of, you know, mandatory minimum sentences. They're tired of the wars, endless wars. They're tired of continuous taxation. And they want to see a government that's representative of the people, fiscally conservative and socially tolerant. And I think there are a large group of, my friends included, I have a lot of friends who had the Bernie sticker on the back of their car, and now they've left it, but they've covered it with a Johnson Weld 2016.
So yeah, yeah.
You're definitely attracting some of those voters.
Well, I'm glad you got the conversation started. I do think this is one of those topics, and politics tend to be super difficult. And I'm not a big fan, especially on the radio, to go on the air and just open up the calls to political. But I do feel that there's so much concern and I guess you would say confusion at this point as to what people wanted. Even people who I know who are staunch liberals or staunch conservatives are still saying, I'm not 100, I can't vote for her, but how am I going to vote for him, or vice versa? And I think this is more so than any other year I can remember. It seems like people are very, very fed up with what we've done to ourselves, really. We couldn't come up with a better candidate. Did you have somebody else, particularly AJ, that you would have voted for had they been somehow made it through to the final two in either party?
If I could have, from each party, on the Republican side, I would have voted for Rand Paul. And then on the Democratic side, Jim Webb. Those were the two people I was really, you know, liked what they had to say, liked the experience that they had, and the policies that they had. But, you know, unfortunately, only 9% of the country actually voted for the two people that we have to choose from today.
Yeah, it's unbelievable when you think about it. Again, it's a problem with the system. But it's good that we get the conversation started, and I appreciate you calling, AJ. Any last thoughts before you get out of here?
I just wanted to give people another option other than Coke and Pepsi.
I appreciate it because, frankly, it seems like everybody seems to think that we're stuck on two, but there is a third party, I apologize for not mentioning that initially. I just don't know if I believe it's a legit option yet, not because of the quality of the candidate, more because of the way this country has sort of forced a two-party system on us, that we all believe that that's it. And unfortunately, it's not true.
That's habit.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, AJ. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks, AJ.
All right.
You too.
Yeah. Again, another interesting topic. And I don't necessarily know if our listeners will jump into this conversation because I know it is very taboo at times. But I do think it's worth it at least to talk about the local effect. And I'm not talking about, let's talk about Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton here. I don't want to do that. I want to talk about policies that might actually affect what we talk about. For example, Hillary Clinton has come out now after many years of being very quiet on the topic and discussed how she really wants to help the mental health aspect of our government and how people with mental illness are being treated and handled and how we integrate them back into society. This is a new topic that she's all over. And I wonder, because she's notorious by talking about things that are hot button topics amongst the people of this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, special needs and mental illness.
But they all do that.
Are the two primary topics
discuss. They all do that stuff, though.
That chair is squeaky as can be. I keep thinking you're crying, and it's not you crying.
I was wondering what that was, and I saw Franco smiling over there.
I think we were both kind of wondering where it was coming from.
Yeah.
But do you know what I'm saying? That I wonder if she's just talking about it because it's such a popular topic right now that it may get her a couple of votes she wouldn't have otherwise had.
They do that, though. You know that. They always do that. Obama did the same thing, and how many promises did he break after he got in the office? Come on. You know, it was like he never even talked about it before.
Yeah.
But he's not the only one.
No, let's face it.
It's just like it's what they do.
Yeah, and frankly, that is where the conversation begins for me, is that I want to talk about now mental health is a major topic.
That's huge.
Let's stop talking about, I know gun control is a big topic, and I'm not saying I believe one way or the other. It's not about that. Right now, it's our amendment. It's our right to bear arms.
Right.
However, that's not to say it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it is one of our amendments, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
We have the right to do that in certain states.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm wondering is how the mental health angle is something we can all work on that really might help us in the big picture of gun control and who is getting access
to
the guns.
That's a very good point. Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, because first thing you think of is when you hear of these mass shootings, a lot of these people, there were warning signs, there were red flags along their path, and somehow they were able to get a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like somehow or another, they thought it was okay to give this guy who at one point in his life was a radical of some kind, or may have been marching down the wrong path in his life.
Some kind of pattern there. Some,
you know, what's the kid in Sandy Hook Elementary School, Sandy Hook, I think it was elementary school. The kid who was mentally unstable.
Yeah.
He was.
There were signs.
Practically, yeah. He was not. He didn't. He barely communicated, and there were signs all along in his youth that he probably should have medical attention and be on some sort of medication. And mom kind of guarded him and shielded him, and then he ended up getting access to guns. And look, we know how that worked out.
That's a good point. So mom held back information that she had because that was her son. And I think a lot of people tend to do that.
Yeah. So as long as we know, what was the kid's name?
Let me see. Adam Lanza.
Adam Lanza. That's it. Okay. So there were issues all along. Even his doctor said it. How did he get access to a gun? You know what I mean? So there's, so the mental health laws probably will help by default. And now this is a big topic and we want to know how the current crop of candidates are going to help our local nonprofits, our local communities. How are we going to fix this, or at least work on it?
You ever wonder the people that we vote into office if they're not mental?
You wonder. I mean, there are a lot of
them. I'm serious.
A lot of them, I think at least, are sociopaths.
Or narcissistic.
Yeah. Because that's just politics in general. And not all politicians are like this.
That's how it is now.
No, because you think about a lot of people you meet, and they play the political game because that's the playing field. That's what they're forced to deal with. But you'll meet some of these guys, and you're like, what a great man or what a great woman, especially in local governments, you know, because they're just regular people.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get to the big office, state senators and such, you really have to be a lifelong politician, period, if you want to survive.
Yeah, you have to be a...
Which means you're playing by their rules.
A gamer.
Yeah, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So these are topics that I think if people want to explore with us, we could talk. And I'm mostly concerned about from the parent side or from the local charitable institutions, nonprofits that are really working hard to spread the gospel of these specific topics and inform people. How is this election poised to affect us? They would know because that's their life. Their livelihood is to figure out what's the best course of action for mental health, special needs, cancer, diabetes, so on and so forth, how the government is going to fund these local organizations and so on, and how they're going to put more money into it.
What I'd like to know is where did we lose our control over government? Now, you know, when we were first founded as a country, it was the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We controlled the government. The people did. And that's what it was for. America was founded on that.
Right.
And now it ain't that way.
You're right.
It was like we have no control whatsoever. If Obama, I mean, I'm not just talking about him specifically, but he's in office now.
Yeah.
If he wants to do something, he does it. Mm-hmm. Where's our say-so?
Right.
You know, and where can we go as a platform and say that, bring that grievance up and be listened to so it has an effect in Washington?
Yeah.
Where? I haven't seen it.
Let me ask you guys this, both of you, actually. What would you say is the biggest issue right now that we're facing as a country whether it's would you say, I guess you would say, which topic or subdivision, if you will, would you say is the most important that needs to be addressed in this country? Would you say it's mental illness? Would you say it's gun control? Would you say?
I say it's immigration.
You think it's immigration? Yeah. Do you have a particular thing, Franco?
So many. I mean, when it comes to all these different topics, it's just under one general umbrella term, discrimination.
That's, you think, the biggest issue, discrimination?
Yeah, whether it be racism, sexism, immigration, they all fall under discrimination in one way, shape, or form.
Interesting.
Yeah, they
okay.
do.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah. I was going to say, for me, it would be healthcare, mental health in general, and how we're going to help the mentally ill within the system. So that would mean like healthcare would have to be a part of that, because not everybody can afford the treatment it requires.
Yeah, well, that's definitely, I mean, all these things are major topics and you know, have a place in discussion. But I think when I brought up immigration, because of the whole ISIS thing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have paranoia all over the place because
of
immigration.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that brought immigration to the forefront. I mean, it's been there for years, but especially because of ISIS now.
Yeah, well, we have to get a rope around this in some way. And
one way or the other.
The problem that we're facing with the ISIS crisis, I didn't know that was going to run, is that a lot of the people that are being summoned to the ugly side of things are young people from around the world.
No, that's
that are
true.
Not, they're just angst-driven or angst-filled young people.
Yeah, they're angry.
Are seeing things from a perspective of what they're seeing online and what they see on the news, and they're angry, and they're being, what do they call them, recruited by the
yeah.
largest network of terror, and it's happening through, like, Twitter, and it's happening in places
yeah,
right in front of our face.
It's yeah. happening through all of that, and I think, well, I mean, it appeals to a lot of dropouts.
Right.
People that are just disenchanted with everything. And most of them are, you know, they would have to have some kind of mental disorder.
Right.
In order to go in that direction. I mean, that's huge when you consider what these guys do. You know, killing innocent women and children for no reason. Really no reason.
I agree. And I think that there's no one in the world right now, I guess you'd say outside of the ISIS operation,
yeah.
That would say that that is a major topic. But the
yeah.
big problem is I don't know anybody has a plan to fix this problem. It isn't going to happen by just going in and invading somewhere, because they're all over the place. They're spread out.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like you're going to one country to fix the problem. That's where there's an issue. And then there's other factors in it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You got things like Russia is always a factor. And obviously you're going to have issues. There's always going to be issues with the powers that be across the big countries like China, U.S. and
Russia
and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So those are other issues. I think ISIS is going to continue to be an issue. I think if we're united on our own grounds here, it's going to help us a lot.
Oh, I believe that
I just
too.
Don't see how with the way things are now and the way the internet is, it's going to be hard to get everybody on the same page. There's just too much information out there, and not all of it is true.
Yeah, there is.
So again,
that's why I'm not a techie. That's why I don't like.
We just got to worry about what's happening locally, and then start there, and then hopefully all of the local governments do what they can do to help make us better as a whole. Because it's 50 states.
Starts in your own backyard, you know.
It does.
Yep.
And everybody could get involved in some way. I
yeah.
think that's the one area that I think people say, I wish I could have an impact. There's really so little you can do in life to have an impact, because it's such a big world. But all you can do is start with yourself and
yeah.
start right in your own backyard, like you said. Do something locally to make you feel like you're making a difference. And then you will make a difference.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you will. I just when I was doing Hearts for Africa, I think people were just feeling overwhelmed. You know, when you want to help somebody out, especially, you know, overseas in Africa and countries that are third world, you really want to help, but you figure out, how am I going to make a difference? It's just me, and where do I start?
Yeah, it's drops in the bucket, right?
Yeah, drops in the bucket.
And that's what people become intimidated by,
yeah.
is that it just seems like it's too big of a task. And you know how it is. We
yeah,
all start.
Totally.
You ever start a project, and you think you're going to be great, and then you start
and
you realize how big of a task it is. You're like, you know what, I'm going to put this off. If I do this now, I'm going to be tied up for the next month. It's that type of a thing when you get to these world issues, if you will.
You have to start somewhere, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's partially why it's worth having this conversation. I know, again, is one just talking to a lot of our clients that walk through the door here, not many people want to talk politics. not publicly, at least. They'll talk about it in a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
They might talk on about it in a small group. But most people are afraid of being judged by their neighbors, you know, and they don't want to be outed, because then you say something and then your neighbor hears it and they're like, I'm living next to somebody who I don't.
Well, yeah, that's true.
With. And they're afraid.
That's true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's one of the issues that I think they're one of the biggest issues we have as a country and as the people of this country who live here is that we're afraid that our opinion is going to hurt somebody's feelings. Therefore, the ones who probably should speak up, don't speak up.
Right.
And we leave it to these, I guess they call them now, Franco, trolls, right?
Yeah.
All over the internet, there's trolls.
Yes.
Like the minute you put something up saying, like, I believe in this, then there's a million people who are going to come by and say how you're the biggest loser in the world because you believe
it's,
that.
It's unbelievable. I go to every post regarding Trump or McClinton or whoever, and I see like 95% of the comments are all negative. They're all trolls, and people are just bickering and fighting. It's unbelievable.
And you're hiding behind a screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to argue and fight with somebody, and then, you know, you put that person in front of those others, and chances are they're going to be a little more timid, or they won't be as vocal. But that's what I'm saying. I hate we've become such a social media driven country or world, really. I can't even blame it on this country. Everybody is tied to social media, and the belief is, you look at, I could say, like, Larry, I looked at your Facebook page and it looks like you have a pretty great life, but then that really tells me
it's
nothing.
All a lie.
It's all a facade.
Just a lie.
I could look at that and see one thing, and yet in your reality it's a mess.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just
saying
that's true. That's the, you could paint any picture you want with pictures and words, you know.
That's true.
But when you live it, you could see the real, the truth behind it. And a lot of times it's all fake or a false facade.
It is. And it's just like, you know, when you're married, you know, people put on this, they don't do it intentionally, I don't think, really. But in public, it's this perfect couple. But behind closed doors, it's like insanity.
Yeah, exactly. And most people tend to shy away from these topics, and I agree that, and I understand that that's probably why we won't get a ton of people to call in.
Probably
about it.
Not.
We chose a topic that in talk radio, politics is a guarantee. Politics and religion will get an argument started. You're guaranteed to have an argument with people if you do this on the radio.
So why don't we just get into it right now?
Why would we want to do? I think we're all
pretty
much on the same
page. Well, because
nobody
else is getting into it, we might as well just go ahead.
The thing is, I think we're too similar, right? I think you and I, and I'm sure Franco, just from what knowing what I've heard from him,
reality,
I think we're all pretty much on the same page.
I think so.
I don't tend, I'm one of the very few that will admit that I am registered as a Republican, but I do not go into an election saying I'm voting
and
we're in my party.
No, and I'm the same way. I vote for who I think is right for the office and right for the American people.
Exactly.
Forget the party.
And I tend to kind of waver on certain things, because I do think I'm very down the middle when it comes to life. I don't tend to associate myself too closely with anything extreme.
Right.
I'm a bit of a free thinker, and I think politics doesn't really allow for free thinking or free form thinking.
Not without
it's
being
not
judged.
A collaborative thing. Yeah. And I like collaboration. I like people coming together and figuring out the path together. And unfortunately, that's not how our politics work.
Or anything,
really, anywhere.
Really.
Yeah, and it's, and if you think we have it bad here, just look elsewhere. It's bad everywhere. It's just a matter of what, you know, the lesser of two evils.
And you know what I think too is that you become numb, or you're used to the status quo, and you grow up in that. It's just like when us growing up in California, we're kind of like insulated against the shock of the real estate prices here.
Yeah,
because we've been around it all our lives.
Yeah.
Not you. You're from
Jersey.
When
I tell people what I pay for rent, they are amazed. They're like, you could have a mansion in North Carolina.
I know, but who wants to live there?
You have to be in North Carolina, though.
Yeah, everybody has, you know, they have their pluses and minuses. But yeah, it's kind of like that, you know.
It is weird. That's another topic that we
can talk
about.
Oh, we got a ton of them.
The real estate topic.
Yeah.
Because this state, it's really unfair.
It truly
is. And that's another topic we could get into. How can we make it so that an average family can afford to live on a regular salary? Because here, in order to survive, you need to make 55 plus. Even think about making it from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah,
and that's not even saving money. That's not even buying blankets.
Week to week, you know, just, you're existing.
Yeah, you're paying your electricity, your rent, your car, and maybe your taxes. And that's it. How you've lived here your whole life, right, Franco?
Yes. And things have changed big time.
They really? Have. Yeah, oh, yeah, they have.
Both of you are lifelong Californians.
Yep.
You did live elsewhere, though, for a period, didn't you, Larry?
L.A.
Well, besides L.A., you never left the state?
No, I've always lived in California. I've been around the world, but it's just...
You're sheltered, man.
I am not sheltered. I've been all around the world. Most of the United States and around the world.
You're right, though. It is. We've become so numb to it here.
We have been.
That you just deal with...
Franco knows, you know. It was never like this, and especially when I was younger. Everybody wanted to live in California. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody. Hollywood was here. Our economy was very diversified. And property values were in the bucket. You know, they weren't high like they are now.
Right.
So everything's changed. We had a huge influx of people from all over the world and all other parts of the United States. And, you know, that raised property values and everything. People are willing to pay more to live here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kept going up and up and up.
Hey, they're not making any more of it, real estate. So it's what's here. So it's the demand is what is causing it to go so high.
It is.
But think about this. The average cost of a house is almost $1 million.
That's right, San Jose.
In the Bay Area, right?
Yep.
So if you are a average human being who makes, say, $65,000 a year, which is above the median household income,
yep,
far above. I think median in the country is $43,000,
$44,000.
Yeah. So it's well above it. If you make $60,000, you're still not capable of supporting a family and living here unless you have two incomes,
right,
that equal, you know, $70,000 or $80,000.
Right.
How are we able to balance that so that there's less homeless, there's less that are living paycheck to paycheck, which is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how this gets fixed. I'm not sure it could ever get fixed.
Yeah, at this point in time, it's hard to say. I mean, I was just talking to my daughter this morning, who lives in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Same thing starting to happen up there. And she said, Daddy, she said, we're starting to see families, whole families, living in tent cities.
Yeah, that's still way cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Even relatively speaking, it's probably comparable.
But, yeah, comparable. So they were used to having to pay less, and now they're having to pay more. So their lifestyle was paying less, not more, and they can't afford it now, so they're displaced.
And what's the active commerce up there? Like here you have Silicon Valley, which is driving up because people are making
actually,
a little more money.
Actually, you have something similar to that up there.
What, Boeing?
No, technology. It's like a
Silicon
Valley.
Yeah, but it's
Valley.
Still a small...
Small scale.
Very small. Seattle is more, they say, Silicon too.
It is.
And it's expensive to live in Seattle, but it's still relative.
Nothing like
it. Because,
here,
yeah, you can afford to live there, even though it's, you know, it's going up.
Everywhere.
Portland is definitely one of the, you have to be self-employed or you have to be able to work from home because there's no major.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it is techie, but that's because people can work at home on that.
Exactly. Right? A lot of people work at home.
But Portland's interesting. It's an interesting
It's a funky
area.
City.
It is. Very different.
It is.
I just watched this whole documentary on sort of how it's its own lifestyle up there.
Yeah, it is.
We have a caller on there, Franco?
Yes, we do.
So you're doing your work here. Let's get to the phone lines. Hello, what's up?
Hi.
How you doing?
I am Ekta, and I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Well, thank you for calling. What brought you to the show today? What would you want to talk about?
I always listen to your show, and it's always very informative. Usually I'm having my lunch at the time. So this is my quiet time with you guys.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your topic.
And we make it a little bit wild sometimes. Your quiet time.
Yeah.
That's what we're paid
to do. Yeah, it's wild
about.
And quiet at the same time. I really thoroughly
good.
Enjoy the information you guys provide and how you provoke the thought. I really like it.
Thank you very much.
That really means a lot because we often talk about how a lot of people will talk to us off air and say, hey, we listened this week or we heard. And we understand that sometimes like yourself, you know, people just want to listen in peace. They want to maybe think about things, but not necessarily talk because they're driving or they're with friends or workers and whatnot. But it's always nice to hear there are people that are getting something out of the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Have you thought about the whole political thing yet? Is that an issue for you?
It's an important issue since, we are also registered voters. And I do think that we work very hard to earn that right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't take it easy. I do think, and as you said, as you guys were mentioning, that it's becoming so hard to give your opinion out or, you might be judged based on that or something like that. So what I tell my friends and my neighbors and the group that I hang around with that it's okay to, you know, vote for Hillary or Trump as long as they go out and cast that vote, you know, so that, you know, whatever the agenda they are supporting, at least they are putting their, you know, instead of hanging there or leaving or losing interest, not going to vote is not going to help anybody, you know.
No.
If one person is helped to either one of them candidates, it's fine, you know.
I agree.
I am a big supporter of going out and voting. It doesn't matter who you vote for.
It's a great point. And one thing I will say is a lot of people will give the excuse when I say, are you voting? They'll say no, because I don't really identify with either candidates. But that we've been given the right and we've been giving the freedom to vote for whom we believe in. Now, if you don't believe in anybody, you still should try and do your homework and have a say in what goes. Vote for the third party then, right?
Exactly. Look for other options. Look for how you can, you know, put your agenda forth. I hope somebody counts and knows that, okay, so many people did not agree with what is going on. At least there you have your vote, you know. There you are counted into some statistic, you know, versus not voting and losing that right which you earned with, you know. I mean, we waited 10 years to get that citizenship, you know.
So it's,
I feel very strongly of going out and making that vote happen, you know.
Well, let me ask you,
that vote count.
Without asking you, because I don't want to ask who you're voting for, what I'd like to ask you is, I asked Larry and Franco earlier, what topic is the most important to you right now? As far as how do you think, things that you think will affect you and your family's life, what topic is most important issue?
I do agree with the mental illness issue, that being very close to my family.
Okay.
And, you know, the special need, how they are integrated, that's what I related. I do, my job is related to that too.
Oh.
And I do want to change, and I want to see that change happen for a very selfish reason, I should say. But still, like, you know, that is very close to my heart. That, and also, I agree to all the things that you guys talk about, but mental illness is such a big such a big criteria that not everybody who will think of as sickness or like just help, you know, just a medical help or diagnosis, you know, all these things are part of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they do get brushed aside a lot, and you know, as we are becoming a modern society, we have to be aware of everybody's needs, just not few people's needs, you know.
I agree, and I think, I mean, as you've probably heard on past shows, we've had several guests on the show that are dealing with the mental health issue and making some inroads, but it's not been easy. So we try to promote that, and we've been fairly successful.
Glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's huge.
Especially in that you said it's selfish. You know what? Every one of us have our selfish reason, but that's one of those good selfish things.
That's a good selfish thing. It's not selfish because it's focusing on you or somebody that you know. It doesn't make it selfish at all. That's a very noble thing, and we all need to know that and be more vocal about it, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like that's the important part. If it's close to home, that's more reason why we should be thinking about it.
And we talk about that all the time, huh? We all know that there are certain issues in life that are going to affect all of us, whether it's mental issues or something else. We're all affected by something, and we need to address
whether directly or indirectly, you know.
Exactly.
Just, I try to bring the awareness about it wherever I go.
Thank you.
I always, and that's why I enjoy your show, because you guys talk about things that usually doesn't get talked about.
Yeah, well that means a lot to us.
Yes, thank
you.
Yeah, that's, you know what, and anytime you want to call and chime in, and even just to say hello, you're always welcome. We really do appreciate you tuning in every week, but specifically for saying hello. So now we know you're there, and we could when we send our love out and we say physically we appreciate, we're talking about you specifically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you could tell everybody it was you that we're talking to. Okay,
yeah, you made a difference.
That's wonderful.
Thank you for calling the show today, and feel free to call anytime. Okay.
keep it up.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I love that.
Great point, by the way, about she said, like, it's selfish because it's close to home.
I know.
We all do that, though. You know, like, let's face it. You know, a lot of the issues that you like to address on the show are things that were close to home.
Sure.
Especially, like you said, special needs.
Yeah, Down syndrome.
Down syndrome is very close to home. Homelessness. So, you know, these are things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to start by promoting or talking about things that are not familiar to you or that aren't. That, why would you?
Usually not. That's why we bring them up.
Yeah, I'm not going to come on here and start talking about oil. You know what I mean? Because as big of an issue as it is around the world,
it's not personal to you.
Yeah, it's not hitting home to me.
I'm not
knowledgeable on that.
Yep.
So I'm going to go to the things that are that make the most sense and matter the most to me and my family. And I think that's exactly what she was saying, is that's close to home.
Very good call. Very good call. I wish we had more people like her. But, you know, we have. And so we encourage you always to call into the studio and talk about what's on your mind. What's bugging you?
408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. What's great is that she brought up a great point at the end of that call. We're talking about things that we know might not get a response a lot of times because people don't want to enter the conversation with fear that others might know it's them. That's a fact. I've heard many people say, I like to call, I want to call, but I'm afraid somebody I know is listening. And then there's that, again, they don't want to allow people into their world.
Well, they're right about that. Somebody will be listening.
Yeah.
You know? But hey, let's make a change.
But we're talking about the issues that are not easy to talk about and at least getting the conversation started. So even if we're not going to physically help, we're going to start the conversations so that maybe you do the research so you could take it to your local officials and your local nonprofits and get involved.
You ever see the movie Network?
Yeah, years ago. William Hurt, was that in? Somebody like that.
What?
Years ago.
William Holden.
William Holden, is that what it was? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was something else.
I remember the movie, though. It was late 70s,
English
right?
actor, the guy that got really, he was an anchor, a news anchor, and he really got upset with the way things were. So he started, by a fluke, started saying, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore.
William Holden, you're right.
Oh, okay, so he was in,
Peter
Phil
Finch, Robert Duvall.
Faye Dunaway.
Ned Beatty's in that,
But he started something because he was mad as hell and he didn't want to take it anymore. That's what we need to be right now.
Yeah, you got, at some point you almost have to stand up and say, I'm going to be the one.
Yeah, you need to be a maverick sometimes. You know, I mean, forget about how people are going to think about you. If you think you're doing something right for the right reasons, do it.
Yeah, that's the only time I encourage it. If you're doing it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
If you're doing it because you're being selfish or because you're trying to further advance yourself.
I'd never advocate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just, I mean, if you're doing it for, you know, for unselfish reasons, let's put it that way.
Yeah. What did you, let's talk about this. This is
whether it turns out right or wrong, who knows?
I got a few minutes here. Let's talk about what is probably the most topical subject in sports right now that's happening right in our backyard. San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick has been kneeling during the national anthem, right? As a protest to discrimination, racial discrimination.
Right.
And it's been a huge topic of conversation, whether you agree or disagree. So originally there was more of an outcry of people who were against what he was doing and fighting him. Fans were booing him. People were burning his jersey. Sports talk radio, people were calling in embarrassed that they root for the team because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the second wave happened, and now all these people that are actually supporting him. They showed a girl the other day, I think it was a soccer player maybe, or a WNBA player who was kneeling during the national anthem. Then we had other players that have now joined this and started to kneel during the national anthem in support of what Kaepernick is doing. And he's saying, look, I'm doing this because it's my belief. I'm not doing it because I don't believe that and I don't stand up for the soldiers that fight for our country. This is my way of voicing some kind of protest. So other people would come up and say, hey, if you're going to do that, maybe go out and get involved in the community instead of doing it on TV. Do something that's actually going to have an effect instead of just sitting and showing yourself on TV as being anti-American or whatever.
So are you asking our opinions?
I'm asking your opinion, but I'm also wondering how the audience feels about this. Do you feel pride in what he's doing because he's using his First Amendment right? Or are you embarrassed that he's taken this platform of being a superstar millionaire who's able to sit on a $7 million a year salary and decide he's going to protest from afar?
What do you think, Franco?
Oh, this topic. This is, it's, I don't know. I'm very half and half because it's like, I don't agree with what he did. I mean, I can respect it. I can acknowledge it.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with it because on the first game, he just sat down completely. But then on the second game, he kneeled. I don't know. I'm just like, this. He's a pretty big quarterback for the 49ers. You know, he has a lot of money, and then he just decides to protest. And it's such a big topic. What really annoys me is how people are there. I mean, people can be angry about a lot of things, and that's what they're angry about.
Yeah.
And he has the right to do it because they're saying that, oh, you're disrespecting the military, when really the people who are in the military fought in wars so that way we can have rights
to do that.
Yes.
Right. And a lot of them support him. From what you've heard about this, I'm sure a lot of military and veterans have come forth and said, we support him in doing this.
Yes, and even he clarified that, oh, what I'm doing isn't anti-American. I'm just saying that I'm just protesting because there's a lot of discrimination and hypocrisy in this country.
I liked how one, I forget what athlete it was that came forward and said, like, great, if you're going to do that, okay, you made your point by sitting during the national anthem or kneeling during the national anthem, but now go out and get involved. Instead of doing it from the sideline, maybe you should put, so he donated the first $1 million he's going to make this season is going towards racial discrimination and injustice.
Right.
So at least he's taken that step now to giving some big amount of money to help the cause. But that's where my issue lies, is that we see on TV the majority of the protests that happen in a way where it's people making a statement and using their platform of being an entertainer, a musician, or an athlete to make a point that other people wouldn't have the platform to make. You know what I'm saying? Like you or I, we have this radio show, but it's small scale compared to what he's got. So he's got the scale to get people to notice, but kneeling on a sideline isn't doing much except showing people that he's against what's happening. What can he do to get the next step, get to the next level? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I thought what he did was stupid.
You do?
I absolutely
All
do.
Right, so this is
and
your
I'll
opinion.
Tell you why.
Okay.
If you're going to do something like that, do it with do it in private. You know, if you have a gripe, do it in private. You know, just like we usually do.
Right.
If we have issues, do we go out and spew it all over the place, or should we be spewing it on Facebook and then, you know, getting everybody upset and all that stuff? No, go out and make a difference, just like you just talked about.
Yeah,
but do it personally, you know. And as he contributed $1 million. Why do you think he did that?
Because of the big.
That's exactly right. Did he ever offer to do it before?
No, that's
no.
The thing.
I don't think so.
See, again, this is a lot of the argument you're hearing is the both sides. Franco just said it's his right.
It's his right, but you know, we have a right to voice, you know, our opinions just like we do on the radio. But
that's
we're
right.
careful about it.
Yeah.
We should, I mean, and he's in the public spotlight. Mm-hmm. He should have been careful about it.
I agree.
Just like using
but
the Oscars.
But then again, he wanted to, that was his whole point, is that I wanted people to notice it. Therefore, I'm doing it so people start the conversation.
It's just like, you know what? It's like a pastor that draws attention to himself.
Mm-hmm.
People use those people as idols. They're the wrong people to be using as idols.
Yeah.
Really. So if you want to do something like that, do it humbly.
I like how you're getting so passionate about
it. I am. I'm upset
it's
with
rare,
that
right?
kind of action.
Yeah, I think we found his trigger button.
Yeah, I know. You got your heart rate up a little
Well, because I know what that usually ends up doing. It ends up dividing people. It ends up causing a lot of controversy when they take their focus exactly off of what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
If you want to make a difference, go out there and make it, but do it individually, and you start that way. And you put your money where their mouth is. Don't put your foot in it.
I think people, listen, it's the national anthem, whether you agree with everything.
I agree,
we're
too.
We're all going to disagree with certain things. None of us are going to agree with everything, right?
So do you think when he did that, he wasn't going to create a stink?
Oh, he knew it.
That is very disrespectful.
I'm not a big fan of his, frankly. I never have been.
I have a very good friend, my best friend, who is a real big fan of his and knew him personally. Not anymore.
Yeah, this is what happens. You end
that
up
is what
happens.
Right? So, I mean, we have, just like with our political views, it's kind of like our political views, and for good reason. So we keep it to ourselves for the most part. If you want to get into it, this is a good way to do
it.
I
love that we struck a chord with you, man. Woof!
Yeah.
This is
I didn't
I'm
know it was that
about.
Big of a chord.
I
just,
mean, I just saw you get all hyped up. I've not seen that in a while.
So,
last time that happens when I tried to take your sandwich.
I don't eat sandwich. You know that. I don't like, it's not good for you.
He's such a weirdo.
Always not good
listen,
for you.
This
unless
was
it's cashed up.
A very interesting show today. It seemed to fly by, and as it goes to show you that there's so much to talk about, and an hour is not going to be enough each week to get it to. But next week, we're going to talk about the Dondias that are happening in the area. Murley from the SEF, Sankra Eye Foundation, are going to be here talking about their last quarter. They have their year-end banquet, annual banquet. They have all the Dondia events and a lot of donating going on for the building of the eye hospitals for eye surgeries around the world, specifically in South Asia,
very
India.
Worthwhile cause.
So, yeah, it's awesome. So we're excited to have him here next week. That'll be great. And you guys, Franco, thanks for everything, as always.
Hey, you're very welcome.
Thanks, we have the best producer in the business on the show, thank God, because the two of us are pretty amateur. Last thoughts, you got 10 seconds.
Go out and make it happen, but I always say that. But that's what I want. That's what I'm passionate about.
Thank you for everything, Larry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure
having you, and it's good to see you get riled
up today.
Always
good to be here.
We'll be back next week, another edition of People Helping People on Desi 1170 AM Radio that listens to you.